I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
Dan, why are you shouting?
Well, because these are the things you shouldn't do to hurt your voice, especially for long-form narration, because we have a great guest this week on East-West Audio Body Shop. Her name is Laura Herner, and she is an Edge Studio coach, and she is a vocal care consultant and speech pathologist. She's going to show us how to protect our voices.
We're also going to have a tip of the week from Dan this week about soundproofing versus acoustics. Why does Dan have to shout over the dog? We'll talk about that later.
And we'll take your questions. Of course, you can email those to ewebshop@gmail.com. That's coming up on East West Audio Body Shop. Join us in the chat room. We'll see all of you there.
He is the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He is a voice actor and the home studio master. Hailing from Buffalo, New York, his home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. This is Rob Marley from Austin, Texas. This episode of East West Audio Body Shop is brought to you by Edge Studio, providers of voiceover education, production, and technology. Harlan Hogan's Voiceover Essentials, products handpicked for voice actors. The Home Studio Master, get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. And Voiceover Extra, your one-stop resource for voiceover success. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his soon-to-be former penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard, really in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. All right. Well, I'm in Florida. I mean, can't you tell? It's like I'm out in space. But no, I'm here in Florida for the weekend. But we have to be able to do EWABs no matter where we are. And we've got a great show for you tonight. As we were telling you, we have Laura Herner with us tonight. She's a vocal care consultant and speech pathologist and an Edge Studio host and a lovely lady. And we'll be having her on in about half an hour. So if you got some questions about how to take care of your voice, you definitely don't want to go anywhere. But you don't want to go anywhere because we got great stuff coming up. We've got a tip of the week, a classic that still explains it all. And we'll be answering your questions. And we've got
time now to take a look at the news. EWABS News.
All right. Not a lot of news this week. I mean, how much voiceover news can you find? If you find a good voiceover story, send it to us, all right? But it's important to note today that is a birthday for two of our very good friends. Happy birthday to Angang Guza out there in Irvine, California, and Maurice LaMarche, the Emmy Award-winning voice of the brain.
We love those people. Some of our favorite people.
Yes, and Lexus.
And Lexus. Don't forget that.
And he does it in his underwear.
Exactly. So. Last week, I apologize right off the top here by forgetting to run a package that we got from Anthony Gettig.
Yeah.
I got some shout-outs from FAFCamp.
Hey, guys. I am freshly back from FAFCamp 2 in San Antonio, Texas. And boy, were you guys missed. I didn't think to shoot any video until Sunday night when we were taking our riverboat cruises on the San Antonio Riverwalk, but a few people wanted to say hi.
Roland. Hi, Dan and George. This is Greg Littlefield reporting live from San Antonio, Texas at FAFCamp 2015.
Hi, Dan and George. This is Karen O'Brien in beautiful San Antonio, Texas for FAFCamp 2015.
Hi guys, this is Shelley Avellino coming to you from FAFCamp. Really miss you guys, wish you were here. It's not the same without you.
I have no voice, but I'm saying hi anyway.
Hi Dan and George.
I thought we were all doing that. I guess not.
Well, there were others who said hi as well. However, I thought it was recording, and it wasn't. Hard to tell in the sunlight. I haven't seen sunlight for a few months, as you know, because I live in Michigan. Anyways, your guys' names came up a lot during the conference, of course. Studio Suit from Dan Leonard. Oh, my goodness. People talking about their Twisted Wave stacks from George Whittam. And talking about, I learned this and I learned that. And what about this? Remember that time when someone else was on it? And anyways, you guys were very missed. And just want to let you know that. Take care.
And that's a look at the Webs News.
Oh, that was pretty sweet.
It was. That was nice of everybody to say hello, because I horribly missed going to FAF Camp.
These are the social events of the year, and now there's more social events of the year than ever. So it's hard to keep up with it all.
I know. And I'm going to miss WovoCon, which I am devastated about. But I will be on the screen to address the troops. So
Good. Well, we got a lot of questions.
Yeah, we do have a lot of questions tonight. So why don't we start off with that?
Dive right in.
First one, from Grant Parkus. Why don't you take that one and we'll discuss.
Okay, he says, should I sell this and use the money for a great mic? And he says, so I got this. Well, this is the Art Voice Channel Tube preamp. So I can already tell you what our answer is going to be. But should I keep this and get a decent mic like the Caddy 100 or the VO1A, or should I sell it and get a better mic? This is being used for creation of audio products like VoiceOver. Thanks a million. Love the show. It's gotten him a lot more thinking, a lot more about acoustic treatments, and so that's good, because that's really what you need to be thinking about more than your mic preamp, I'll tell you. Basically avoid tube products in general. There's nothing worse. The only thing worse than a tube preamp for a VoiceOver studio is a cheap tube preamp for a VoiceOver studio. So I really recommend avoiding the affordable sub $1,000 tube stuff, because it's just not made very well. Cheap components, and the tubes generally just add noise. So I really, really wouldn't focus your energy on that. I would definitely focus on the microphone and the audio interface. So if you're thinking of the Caddy, is the door closed over there? Because, man, is she just being extra loud today? My daughter's like screeching in the kitchen with delight. Apparently they're making cupcakes. The Caddy 100S or the VO1A, both are stellar microphones. Just focus on a good audio interface like the Scarlett 2i2, the Steinberg UI12 or the UI22. Really great, really affordable, simple to use audio interfaces. That's really the best place to spend your money, I believe.
Yeah. You know, now when I think of the tubes, I just think for, you know, about what do you want from life?
Oh, right. The band, the tubes.
The tubes, yeah.
Got it. Okay.
The tubes have no place in VoiceOver, folks.
I really don't. Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, we've looked at this and we've listened to them, and it's like, I want to sound warm. Why? You don't sound warm by yourself? Trying to hire you to be you. People don't want to hire you for this enhanced piece of something. If they want enhancement, they'll do the enhancement.
Here's my tip. You want to sound cool, like cold? Talk back here. You want to sound warm? Talk up here.
It's called proximity effect.
It's pretty amazing how much of a difference that makes. Sounds like 17 different mics, depending on where I stand.
That's right.
You want to get the next one from Larson?
Let's take the next question from Mr. Bennett here. Dan and George, well, he's addressing it to both of us. Is there a good way to determine if a used mic purchased through eBay or wherever is performing up to specs, other than no apparent outward physical damage and it sounding okay to the untrained ear? Is there a simple way to check a mic's response to make sure it's truly delivering all the range and sensitivity it should be delivering? Well, let's address that first one. You should know what a bad mic sounds like. You're going to have the sound's going to break up. It doesn't handle the SPL very well, sound pressure level, for those of you wondering. If you talk very loud, it'll break up. Is it muddy? Is it muffled? That sort of thing. You should be able to hear these things in headphones, on studio monitors. You should be able to hear this on computer speakers, for crying out loud. And that's a pretty easy way to check. Is there a rattle in it? You know, sometimes you'll get a mic and you'll talk, and there'll be you'll hear a little rattle at a certain frequency. That's one way to check. But I love getting mics on eBay, but I get antique mics on eBay. You know, you've seen my ribbon mic collection.
You don't
care
if they work most of the time.
No, I care if they work, but if they don't work, I make them work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the fun part. That's the fun part of the hobby.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if the microphone sounds good, it is good. So if you don't know what it should sound like, send the audio sample to the likes of me or Dan. We'll take a listen and tell you if something sounds out of whack.
Absolutely. It'll take us 2 seconds.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to know if the microphone's out of whack. I think we might have time to squeeze the other question in real quick. And if not, we'll blow it off and do it next time. It's got a couple of parts, it looks like. I'll grab this, I guess. I want to move my mic position away from my DAW, thus putting it out of sight of my main monitor. All of my PC's monitor outputs are already taken, so running a long monitor cable is not an option, because he wants to have a monitor in front of the mic away from the computer, I guess. What do you recommend for a remote wireless monitor? Something that at a glance would assure me I'm still recording. Would something like Avatron's wireless air display do the job? Perhaps there's something better out there that's also offers control of my audio editing program, Pro Tools, from the new mic position. If you're using an iPad or any tablet, there's all sorts of utilities that let you do remote software control, remote Pro Tools, transport control. There's all sorts of stuff out there that will let you do that on a tablet computer. I know for sure iPad, and I'm almost 99% sure you can get an Android tablet for under $100 that will work as a fine remote control for Pro Tools. So that's really all you need. You just run a remote desktop app that lets you share the screen, and presto. That's probably going to be the most simple and cost-effective way to do what you want to do.
That's what I do. You know, I actually had a session last week where I had to do different takes using Adobe Audition, and I used two screens, and I used my magic mouse, and I had it right in front of me. I'd hit it. Okay, it's rolling. Take three. And they wanted individual takes as individual files, and they didn't want me to edit it. It's like, can you get them to us like in 5 minutes? I'm like, okay.
The fiery hoops we jump through, you guys.
I know. Well, that was in lieu of them me not having ISDN and the fact that they were in New York. And they said, are you in New York? I said, yes. They said, can you be in Midtown Manhattan at 5 o'clock? I'm like, no, I'm in Buffalo, New York. And they're like, oh, well, why wouldn't you hire me? You want my voice. And now I do a lot of trailer work for them, but it takes doing it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun stuff. Anyway, so those are this week's questions. We might take a few more a little bit later on, but we've got a great guest coming up in a little bit. Laura Herner is going to be talking to us about taking care of your voice. And we've got my tip of the week, a great classic about, is it soundproofing or does it have to do with the acoustics? So stay where you are. We'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to East West Audio Body Shop.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
Danny did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Hey,
Hey, Dad, I know you're watching EWABs on YouTube, but...
Hey, no problem. What's up?
He's here again, and he looks hungry.
Really? Okay.
Hello!
Are you hungry for something in particular?
Banana!
Well, how about an apple? I have one right here.
Banana! Boogie, banana, banana!
Dave, don't be disrespectful.
Okay, okay.
Would you please go to the kitchen and see if you can find him a banana or at least something banana-flavored?
Okay, Dad.
Okay, okay.
I wonder why he doesn't like green apples. Minions. Now back to George and Dan on EWABs.
And we're back here on East West Audio Body Shop. Can you hear the crickets? Turn up my mic just a little bit.
Yes, I do.
Florida is nice. And I'm as I said, I'm at my mother-in-law's place, and they have this wonderful pool here. And it's surrounded by these statues. the four graces there. We've talked about...
Hey, Dad.
Instead, I'm in the dark. So anyway, we were down here in Florida. My mother had knee replacement surgery this morning, and she's doing great.
Good. So, good.
And she came through it very, very well.
They replaced the correct knee and everything.
They took out all the meniscus.
Oh, and, yeah. I'm familiar with meniscus pain.
Oh, yes. Well, apparently the doctor said it looked like a mouse had been chewing on her tibia.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, so she's a very athletic lady for 80, for 81, and she wants to go back and keep playing tennis. So,
oh, yeah.
And so she did very well, and we're very happy for her. And we're exhausted because we had to get up at 4 in the morning to go from West Palm Beach down to Fort Lauderdale.
Jeez. I think you'll be going to sleep right after the show.
If not during, we'll see.
And see, Laura's waiting. If he starts falling asleep, it's not your fault. We promise you.
Right. Anyway, so if my energy level is not at its normal high peak, then you'll understand why. But we've got, Laura's going to come up in a couple of minutes. But one of the questions we always get is about using soundproofing foam. What?
Check it out. There's a soundprooffoam.com. I guarantee it.
It probably is. You can't soundproof with foam. People need to understand the difference. And
soundproof foam is like waterproof tissue paper.
Yes. And people, of course, using bed foam, which is great for keeping you from getting bed sores, but does nothing for diffusing audio at all. But anyway, here's a tip of the week talking about the difference between soundproofing and the acoustics that go on inside your little booth there. It was one of those weeks. I had a book to get out, a big e-learning project, and, well, because it's that time of year when people are moving leaves, there was perhaps a little bit more noise to deal with than I usually do. But it reminded me about something. I get a lot of emails from people talking about soundproofing, and then what they're talking about really is sound dampening. They're two different things. So, more confusing terminology this week. What's the difference between soundproofing and sound dampening? And is acoustical treatment the same as those two things? With a home voiceover studio, from an acoustical perspective, you have two big challenges. Keeping outside noise out, and keeping the noise you make reading all those commercials and audiobooks from bouncing all over the room and back to your mic. So let's change some terminology in reference to you at home. Let's start using the term sound isolation instead of soundproofing. That means finding a place to record that is farthest from outside noises and the noise caused by the mechanicals in your house. That's why interior closets, if they're big enough, make the most sense. If you don't have any walk-in closets, you may have to improvise. The simplest way to block sound is to put a solid wall in its way. The more solid, the better isolation from outside noise you'll get. As a rule, if you double the mass of a wall, you have the amount of sound transmitted through it. But you have to be surrounded on six sides in a square room. and that includes a door.
If you're just starting out, it's just too expensive, and if you're not good with tools, a real nightmare to build. It's got to be totally airtight. Hard to do in a home environment.
So let's talk about room dampening instead, because I think that's a far more critical thing to think about.
Acoustic treatment, in the context of a recording studio, generally deals with the acoustic quality of the room from a listener's point of view. In other words, all you hear is your voice. No echo or room tone or the impression you're working out of a newsstand in Grand Central Station. You hear the difference? You need acoustic foam, like industry-leading Oralex, Prime Acoustic, Moving Blankets, or a specialized product called AudioMute. And coming soon, a custom-made solution called the Home Studio Master's Studio Suit. Now, these are not soundproofing materials. They're sound-dampening materials.
They make a lively room like this
sound like this by absorbing sound and not letting it reflect back and bounce off the walls. Whatever you do, don't use bed foam or actual egg crates. Those are great for avoiding bed sores and busted eggs. So to sum up, soundproofing is isolating you from outside noise. Sound dampening or acoustical treatment is making the room less lively.
Again, it's almost impossible to soundproof a home studio without major investment in time. So concentrate on the reflectivity of the studio with sound dampening. So this time of year, be patient as the leaves get picked up and just enjoy the season. And that's my tip of the week!
One.
Well, that was fun. And of course, and another time of the year, but it made the point. We get asked this all the time. They're like, if you don't want to invest a lot of money, the best place to be is in your closet. And if you've got clothes in your closet, great. You know, I mean, when I'm on the road and I've got to find a place to, find a good dampening, a good place that is, there's lots of diffusion and lots of absorption.
Damping,
the more clothes, the better. Because actually, you and I both know people that are making a lot of money next to all their underwear. it really does do a great job.
Next to their underwear and in their underwear.
Both. And in their underwear, if you happen to be Maurice LaMarche.
Exactly.
We're hoping he's watching tonight. I doubt it, but, you know.
He does both. He works in a closet in his underwear. He told us
that.
His
underwear. A classic moment for me, Wabs. But, you know, don't confuse the term. Soundproofing is preventing sound from getting into you and your mic, and the diffusion and the damping is making sure, well, damping is actually preventing, is also part of the sound transmission thing, but making sure that you have diffusion, that sound is not bouncing around, instead it is right. Absorbed and sent in different directions, is the difference between those two.
Exactly.
And that's my tip of the week, and I'm sticking to it. But, cool. Of course, Studio Suit is on hiatus for mm-hmm. a bit. And once we get to California, maybe I'll custom make it. But I don't want to be a manufacturer.
Not going to happen.
It was fun. It solved the problem. I still have a few sheets of it left. You know, it goes to the highest bidder.
There you go.
And it's going to be in the new VoiceOver Body Shop.
Here's what you should do. You should bid off the last few pieces, and proceeds go to creating the new studio.
Oh, there we go. Not a whole lot to create there, though. It's like already there.
Oh, you wait to see how fast we can spend money in this new place.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah.
I can't wait either.
Which reminds me, we'll be off a good deal of later July and early August while we retool and redo the show a little bit and allow me to actually move my furniture and my family across the country, which ought to be interesting.
Nah. Big whoop. I want to squeeze one more question in before we bring on Laura, who's patiently waiting. This one. It's a shorty. Bill Cannon says, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind answering my question. I'm currently viewing a Focusrite 2i2. Oh, you must be looking at one. That is the Scarlett bundle. That includes the interface as well as the mic and cables. I've seen great reviews. What are your thoughts, gentlemen? I wish I could say I've used that mic or heard that mic. Neither are the case for me. So I can't possibly recommend that mic personally. I'm not going to say it's a bad package, based on not having heard the mic. But the likelihood of it being a good mic when bundled alongside and made by a company that doesn't make microphones is pretty slim. Presonus does the same thing. They have an audio box bundle where they throw in a microphone. In that particular case, I have heard that mic, and it does suck pretty bad. So if it's anything at all like the mic that comes with the Presonus, I would definitely walk, even run in the other direction. Get the 2i2 and get a good mic that we've all talked about 1,000 times on the show, like the VO1A, the AT2020, the Caddy 100S, the AT4040, the Shure PG42, the AKG Perception 220. The list goes on and on. That would be a much better move. That's it for that.
I agree. Yeah, don't pick the packages. Remember, what's Dan's number one rule of retail?
You better know what you want
before you go in the store.
Right. Precisely.
All right. Well, we've got Laura Herner coming up in just a minute here on East West Audio Body Shop, and we're going to have a great time talking to her. If you've got questions about vocal health, now's the time to ask. But we got to start off talking about a healthy equipment supply in your studio. And the place you get that is at voiceoveressentials.com, run by our amazing friend Harlan Hogan, sponsor of 183 episodes of East West Audio Body Shop, because he knows he's talking to the right people, and that's you. And he wants you to know that he's got the stuff you need to have in your voiceover studio or to improve your voiceover business. So what are some of the things that perhaps, if we randomly went into his website tonight, George, what are some of the things that we might find there that would be an amazing buy for them?
All right, well, let's scroll down ewabs.com. Let's focus in on that magic link that takes you over there. You can go right to his website, but if you go through our site, it lets him know where you're coming from. That's all. We don't get any extra money. Just lets him know we sent you. So if we go over there, let's see what Harlan's got featured on the site tonight. He's got his shock mount. This shock mount is a really nicely made, affordable way to support any small diaphragm mic. It might even fit some small to medium-sized mics as well, but it's designed to hold pencil microphones. Really? I bet it would even hold the Apogee. I'm sure that the Apogee mic would fit in this sucker because it's a pretty small mic. His super light shotgun mic mount will hold a shotgun mic. It'll hold pencil microphones, most likely. And actually, it says any mic from 19 to 54 millimeters in diameter, which actually covers a pretty wide range of mic sizes.
Can you show us exactly what that is by your estimation?
I'll try. But I would say this is probably 19 here, and this is probably 54 here. So there you go.
That works.
Right. But anyway, it's a great product. It's very lightweight. It's a great traveling companion. So if you want to have a shock mount when you're traveling, this is a great way to go. It comes with O-ring suspension that usually outlasts the elastic stuff that I've seen. And you can replace these things very, very easily if they break. So $29.95. And there's a shot of it being used on a mic stand that he also sells, of course. So
yeah. And actually, you know, if you buy his VO1A microphone, he sends extra elastic bands. Neumann doesn't do that.
Oh yeah. He sends, if you buy a VO1A, it comes with a shock mount, and that also comes with extra elastic bands and a solid mount and a Mogami mic cable. So that's a pretty good deal too.
That is a great deal. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com, tell them we sent you, and buy the best voiceover stuff on earth. And tell them we sent you. I already said that, though.
And tell them we sent you.
And tell them we sent you. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Roger Leopardi, and you're watching East West Audio Body Shop.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. We know how to teach and care about your success. In one of the hardest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
Going on? We got a beach ball. And we're back. Yay!
Okay, why?
We had a scary pinwheel there for a second, but we're back.
Yeah, not happening from my end. You know, it's interesting when you have, you know, technical difficulties there. Of course, you heard my voice, so it sounded fine. I remember when I was in public television, our station had this great technical difficulty slide of a radio tower with Godzilla tearing it down.
Right.
That's awesome. Anyway, let's get into the subject matter for tonight. We have got a great expert on taking care of your voice. Lara Herner has unique skills that help voice actors please more casting agents, impress more engineers, and book more jobs, especially for long-form narration, one of my favorite things. And she does this by reducing abusive behaviors and techniques that contribute to vocal fatigue and throat discomfort. You teach those things? Training proper coordination of breathing and speaking, decreasing mouth clicks, the greatest problem of all voice actors, and pops, which save editing time and maintaining a healthier voice for a more lucrative and sustainable career. And she's available through Edge Studio. So let's welcome to our program, a little bit in the shadows, but she looks great anyway. Lara Herner, welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, joining us from Boston, Massachusetts, where there's still some snow there.
Yes, it's snowing today, and in fact, we're supposed to get some snow again this weekend.
I keep asking, where, you know, down the floor, where did they put it all?
In the river.
In the river, that's right. Anyway, tell us a little bit about the work you do with voice actors. I mean, we heard from your CV there, some of the stuff you do, but tell us a little bit how you work with voice actors.
Sure. So I am also a voice actor and a professional singer. Which is what I did after graduating college in New York City through Edge Studio. But during my work, I came to realize that in addition to performing, I really loved helping people and was very interested in how the voice worked and why the voice sometimes doesn't work and what can contribute to good health or bad vocal health. So I went to graduate school for a degree in speech pathology at Columbia. And now I practice at Mass General Hospital. I actually specialize in swallowing disorders for hospital folk. But in addition to my work at the hospital, I work as a private speech therapist for professional voice users, focusing on how to maintain your instrument. So a lot of us in everyday speaking as well as in voiceover, we do a whole spectrum of behaviors that go from very unhealthy for long-term use to relatively healthy. And my job is to help you identify the different aspects of your voice, how to control the different aspects of your voice, so you can turn on and off those elements of your voice that aren't really good for you to do long-term, but might be what that casting director is asking you to get for that commercial, promo, or long-term narration.
And I'll bet it takes a lot of skill to do that. Because you're using speech pathology, techniques and stuff like that, most of us wouldn't even think about.
Well, a lot of it is stuff that you actually come to learn to listen for as a voiceover artist, but you might not realize the different components that are involved in it. So when somebody's asking you for a kind of, casual sound, What that's putting together are elements of pitch, volume, and vocal quality that you just do by ear, but really are independent variables that you can learn to control. So you're looking at creating a breathier quality. It has to do with a different ratio of breath support and phonation with your vocal cords, or a kind of raspier, dry quality like this that sounds a little more casual. Also has to do with coordination of breathing and voicing, but fry, and that's one of my biggest things that I talk to folks about with fry, is that it can actually be abusive to your voice over long term. So you really don't want to be utilizing that outside of when you've been asked to for a spot.
Mm-hmm. Now, we use our voices all day long. I mean, we talk, I mean, we walk, we do all these things, we talk, but as professional voice actors, perhaps we talk a little bit more. And I think a lot of people tend to overproject and really tend to push their voices a lot. How do you know when it's time to quit for the day or to take a rest? What are some of the things that you know, might key you off? It's like, you know, I need to take a break here.
It's an excellent question. I think some of the hallmarks are signs of fatigue. So if you're finding yourself straining, if you're finding yourself with lots of voice cracks, if you're noticing that you're having to drink a lot more water, or you're feeling like your pitch is rising and rising and rising, that's actually a big sign of muscle tension, is when your pitch starts to rise and rise and rise. So if you're doing an audiobook recording on your own at home, and you listen to your last take and you listen to your first take of the day, and you notice that the pitch, your kind of average pitch, is much higher towards the end of the day, you need to be taking more breaks throughout the day, because that's definitely a sign that you're fatiguing yourself and perhaps should take a break and rest.
And for those of us that do a lot of long form narration, or if we're doing a long session, it's like, excuse me, I'll take a drink of water, which of course is totally normal in a booth. I mean, I'm starting to push it a little bit much here, and and I can feel my voice drying out, and it's like it's time to stop and be a professional and take care of your instrument. What's the worst thing that we do to our voices?
Oh gosh. Voice actors. I mean, there are so many things I could add to this right now. I mean, your usual behaviors: don't smoke, don't overdrink, don't over caffeinate. that does not count as hydration, Dan.
This is the one beer I have a month.
I think that some of the most abusive behaviors that people have with their voices are shouting or screaming. Don't scream. And hard glottal attacks, which a lot of beginner voiceover artists do quite a lot of. So every vowel is started with a very sharp glottal attack, which I have worked very hard to train out of me. So it's actually really hard to do now for me. So glottal attacks, shouting, and vocal fry, long-term vocal fry. Not speaking in your resonance is another one. So you'll hear a lot of people talk about chest voice and head voice, especially singers, but voiceover artists also. And when you're talking down here and you're not in your resonance, it can be so fatiguing and really damaging to your voice. People can get themselves a whole host of problems from misusing their voices that way.
So making a living sounding like Donald Duck is not a long-term career.
Probably not a good idea.
Okay, let's see here. You keep moving this on me. I know I had my other questions here. Let's see here.
Sorry, Dan.
Okay. I'm sorry. We were talking about it. FX for your voices. A lot of us use affectation. A lot of us, most of us are just trying to sound like normal everyday guy, a guy you like to have a beer with, some gal you like to have lunch with. Seems to be the general direction here. But there are, sometimes spots call for you to really be really kind of weird or something like that. And how do you control that? I mean, those of us that have been doing it for years, we don't even think about it. We can jump into it. Hey, lady, we can really change our voice and go any direction and change all those things. But for someone who's really learning, what are some of the techniques that, you can teach people to really control that affectation and make it a little bit smoother in the transition from the regular voice?
That's a really great question. I think from a speech pathologist perspective, I could tell you all of the different physiological components that are going into those different sounds that you're making. Like this last one here, this is hypodasal. And that involves kind of plugging up your nasal cavity so that you're not allowing any air to pass through it. Or a more nasal quality like this, where I'm keeping my soft palate actually lowered so that air can flow through it. I think as far as exercises for people exploring the range of their voice and the different affects of their voice, would be experimenting with nasality. So going from a very kind of witchy, very forward sound, which we would consider kind of a frontal resonance, to something a little more lofty, like an opera singer. And I kind of think about it in terms of like witchy, opera singer, and sick with a cold, to kind of try and get people to mimic those sounds. But really, it's a matter of playing around, listening a lot to other affects, and trying to get comfortable with the range of those different resonances and sounds. And I think a lot of it comes from playing and experimentation with your voice.
Yeah, and that's where you really where you learn how to do some of these characters and then how you adjust. We've had a few people talking about animation and stuff like that, and that's really where a lot of this control has to really be learned, because if you've got a character and you want to make, you know, you have a British character and he talks like this, you know, well, take away the accent. Well, you want me to talk just like this. Mm-hmm. These are all affectations that you have to learn. And if you can learn how to control it and mm-hmm. do it like that on cue, that certainly makes you a valuable commodity, I would think.
Well, right. And so that one, for example, also has, in addition to the resonance, which is a little more forward, also has a very crisp articulation. So you're talking about different components where you've got the resonance being like the witchy sound to the lofty sound to the cold sound, as well as the crispness of the articulation. So I could be talking like this very clearly and over articulating,
yes.
Or I could be talking more casually with a more fluid articulation. And then you have your quality of your voice. Is it breathy, raspy, fry, etc.? And all of those things layer together to make your affect.
Yeah. Do you find that in working with voice actors that you put a microphone in front of them, and, you know, you'll be having a normal conversation with them. It'll be talking. Oh, yeah, try this, try that. Okay, microphone. Okay. What is it about a microphone that makes us create this affectation and projection that is really not popular in today's marketplace?
It's a good question. You know, I think that in communication and in speaking, we change the way that we communicate and the way we talk, the vocabulary we use, them, how much we articulate, how we use our voices based on our communication partner. So when you're talking to, perhaps you're being first introduced to somebody who is like a boss figure, you're going to be talking and communicating in a very different way. I would imagine that most of us see a microphone and we imagine a particular way that we're supposed to respond, which is, you know, I think as somebody beginning and starting off in voiceover, it's something you really have to kind of fight against, because it is everyone's natural inclination when they first get into that booth to overdo it and sound like a radio host. And that's just not the kind of sound people are looking for these days. So
clearly, absolutely. I have found that probably one of the best tricks to really get away from thinking that there's a microphone there is to not see the microphone. And if you place the microphone properly and look at your copy, that suddenly you realize that you're just performing, and it becomes a lot more natural that way. Mm-hmm. A lot of people see the microphone and they get very intimidated by it and stuff.
One of my coaches always used to tell me, pretend the microphone is and insert, you know, some person you're having a conversation with over the script. So your mother, your sister, or your best friend or whatever. And although it's very odd to put my mother's face on a microphone, it does work. Tell her that.
I'll have to try that one. let's talk about another thing that you really work with, and that's vocal health. I mean, we've had Joel Bernstein on the show, everybody's favorite rhino otolaryngologist, who's thrilled every time I say that. And we've had other pathologists on. This is a valuable instrument to us. This is how we make our living. Mm-hmm. What are some of the best tips that you can give us about how do you take care of it some positive things as opposed to the negative things we were talking about.
Sure. And, you know, there's always the usual, everybody shakes their finger, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. You know, it's I think it's very important for us to remember that our instruments are part of our bodies, and therefore anything that you do to your body is going to affect your voice. Which means that things like hydration, hydration is super important, and it's not something you do in the studio right that minute. It's something that you do all day. So you can't expect your body to absorb the proper amount of hydration within the hour of your recording session. It's something you should start at the beginning of the day in anticipation of your recording sessions and carry through. One of the biggest sources of mouth noises is because your oral mucosa starts to dry out. And so you start smacking and clacking against your tongue, against the roof of your mouth and your cheek and so on, because you're getting dry. So maintaining excellent hydration from the start of the day to the end is going to help quite a lot, both with your overall vocal health, but also with things like mouth noises in the studio. And then also increased hydration during your studio session. So taking small sips of water to keep the saliva going. You've got two different kinds of saliva that you produce. One is more viscous and tacky, and the other one is more liquidy. And so you want to keep washing down that thick, viscous saliva so you don't get as much mouth noise. It's the usual plethora of good health tips. Make sure you're getting enough rest before you go into the studio. Allergies and reflux are big contributors to vocal fatigue. So knowing how those things affect you and managing them, optimizing them with the help of your doctors. Some people need to be doing daily sinus rinses. Some people need to be on a proton pump inhibitor to help manage their reflux and make dietary changes. Knowing how caffeine affects your body. All of these things contribute to a really well-balanced system that's going to be optimized during the recording sessions. And the last one I'll say is that warm-ups are essential. Because your voice is a muscle. And if you're going to be doing long-form narration, you can't expect yourself to just jump into an eight-hour session. Not that there are so many of those, but that you're going to have to build up to that, just like a marathon runner builds up to a marathon.
Audiobooks come to mind.
Yep.
Yes, audiobooks do come to mind. Those are monsters sometimes.
Yeah, and a lot of us just jump into it in the morning. I mean, you know, the first thing you find is, oh, I got like four auditions to do. And it's like, get in there, you know. And then sometimes I'll like try to arrange them. Well, which one needs the graveliest voice? Mm-hmm. Then I come up for the other ones for it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, right. So that's when you get your morning voice. I especially when I'm at a voiceover conference, I love walking out the next morning after hanging out all night with a bunch of people and walking out and giving everybody my best Barry White impression. Because it's incredible how much my vocal cords are stretched out / worn out after a day of talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't affect you as much as it affects the rest of us, though, because as voice actors, that can cost us a half a week's work or more sometimes, or really gets us that Barry White work, which is always fun to get, too. But what are some of the exercises that we can do? Let's go through a couple of them here and see if it helps me out at all.
So some of my favorites, they're very simple. I really like a good stretch for the vocal cords. So a nice siren glide. Nice and relaxed. That's perfect. Just like that. You don't want to be reaching for that top note. You don't want to be straining, but the range and pitch actually helps the vocal cords to elongate and then to shorten again, which is just like a nice yoga stretch. It's like your sun salutations in the morning, which I know you're doing down there in Florida. So, so that's one of my favorites. Namaste. A nice vocal siren, a couple of those, just nice and easy on different vowels. I like humming exercises because they warm up your resonators. Just humming gently. I always tell people that as vocalists, we must be prepared to look silly and sound silly. So humming is a good one. And then the last one I like to do is coordinating breathing and speaking. And this is especially good for those ridiculously long sentences that copywriters give us that have like no natural place for a pause or a breath and are just so long.
Don't you hate that?
I do. I just wish I could rewrite it for them and be like, you just weren't thinking about how this would sound.
That's when we wear out our voices going, comma, comma.
Exactly. So the one I do for this one is in a good posture and taking a good diaphragmatic breath, rather from my, not from my shoulders, but from my belly, taking a breath and counting to five on one breath. So breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And sustaining a nice phonatory sound all the way through five, not dropping off or getting breathy at the end. Then I'll take a breath and I'll add on a couple of numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And keep going until I feel like I can get up to about 20 without running out of air, without feeling like I'm stretching or without getting all grovelly and dry at the end. So those would be my three exercises for warm-ups.
Excellent. Yeah. I sing. I've taken professional voice lessons. I still suck at it, but at least I know, put the voice out here and you run through a lot of vocal exercises doing a musical.
Mm-hmm.
Does that do wonders for your voice? Because
it does a doozy.
A professional director or a semi-professional, somebody who really understands the choral arts and will run you through these exercises. And mm-hmm. then when you're warming up in the morning, me, me, ma, ma, moo, me, me, ma, ma, moo, those sorts of, they really do help. And mm-hmm. they really get you where you need to be. And of course, our voices change during the day. I mean, if you're going to record something and they need a retake on it, you got to do it at the same part of the day or you're going to sound completely different. It's a big
absolutely problem. Unless you have like a really good handle on what that sound was and how you can artificially manufacture right. it later on, which is very difficult to do. I agree.
Right. It takes years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a lot of great questions from our audience tonight because I knew we would. Because this is one of those topics that really is personal to voice actors. We'll start off with Jack DeGolia. A voiceover friend posted that her voice, ragged from allergies, was helped by Throat Guardian by Natura Nectar. Throat Guardian utilizes bee propolis to heal and relieve a sore and raspy throat while respecting the delicate mucous membrane. Which brings up the question of how much should we rely on naturopathic sorts of cures?
That's a good question. I think that my go-to answer for any of these things is try to be well-informed. So do your research, go online, and then see if it works for you. Because not everything is going to work for every person. Especially when it comes to allergies, because the reason that might be working for that particular person, there's a whole treatment with bee and pollen allergies where you actually introduce a little bit of the allergen and it helps the histamines kind of chill out. And that's why it actually helps that particular allergy. So I would be wary of silver bullets and cure-alls. Be open to trying things and researching them, but not necessarily believing everything you read. I tend more towards the hydration and sinus rinses and that kind of on that end of the spectrum. But there's certainly, like, I love slippery elm, for example. That one works really well for me. But that's me. My other friends don't find that as useful. So it's kind of an individual basis.
All righty.
Rebecca Davis says, what does Laura suggest doing and using if you have lost your voice from too much usage and straining?
Lost your voice. Do you hear me?
Yes, now we do. There was a lag there, but you're back.
Okay, good. Yeah, you were breaking up a little bit for me too. Okay, good. We're here. What I suggest doing if you have lost your voice is vocal rest. And I know that that can be rather devastating if you have a recording session, but twofold. First of all, you won't recover as quickly if you don't give your voice rest. And second of all, you can actually do damage because you will be using a non-optimized instrument, which means you'll be having to use muscle tension and pressure to create a sound that normally comes much more easily to you. And the chances of you doing damage to your vocal folds are much higher when you're trying to use a sub-optimized instrument. So rest. And if it doesn't get better in a couple of days, say like 3 days, then you need to go see a doctor.
Mm. Good thing is spend a day in a hospital with your mother-in-law.
Did you get plenty of vocal rest?
Tons. dead silent. Came home. That's why I sound so good tonight. It's got lots of rest. Arlene Tannis asks a question on vocal health. What is the most soothing, healing beverage for a voice recovering from a sore throat, cold, allergies, etc.?
I think that generally warm beverages tend to be very soothing. I like things that have natural anti-inflammatories in them. So turmeric is a natural anti-inflammatory that can be really tasty as well in a beverage. So you can make kind of like a turmeric tea. But there are lots of natural anti-inflammatories out there that you can give a shot to. Things with honey are always good too. I think mostly though, the beverages tend to help us just feel better. They don't necessarily do anything to help repair mucosa or get rid of inflammation or swelling. So I think, you know, we have to be cautious about that too. You're going to be looking for a more systemic medication to help with things like swelling, which is what a sore throat is. And that might be something as simple as Tylenol or a cold medicine, which your doctor can advise you on. But as far as feeling better, I think the warm beverages just help to relax the muscles.
iVoice Today says, question for Laura, what are good warm down exercises?
Good question. I actually think that warm downs are almost as important as warm ups. So my favorite cool down exercise is actually going from something I told you to use judiciously before, and that is vocal fry. So you're going to go from your fry into a little bit of a glide stretch. It sounds something like this. And that kind of takes you through your whole range, gently stretches the vocal folds, and brings them into this into the fry register, which is actually a pulse register. Your vocal folds are moving at about half speed compared to what they normally do. So it helps to relax the musculature around the larynx. I like that one for the voice. And then just in terms of your neck musculature, gentle stretches from side to side.
All righty. The amazing Karen O'Brien asks, what's the best way to mitigate nasal thumps and whistles? People don't believe. What is a nasal thump? I'll get a demo from somebody in here at the end of a word, which is literally somebody, I think, breathing in at the end of a word. And someone once described it as actually a sonic boom of air rushing over your palate and your sinuses and stuff like that. And it's very, very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Move if you technically know how to do it. But I mean, there's lots of different vocal noises that people make. Some of them can really ruin a career.
I have to say that this is one of the harder ones. I actually got a consult a couple weeks ago with a student who was having some of this. One of the causes of this is that the soft palate actually snaps shut and causes air to rush out of the nose with the change in pressure. It's really hard to untrain that. And I would suggest probably seeing an in-person speech pathologist, because there's some tactile things. There's some work you can do with biofeedback devices to help, but it's a very difficult behavior to unlearn because it's kind of an inside muscle that we don't really usually volitionally control very often. So I know that's not a great answer to a question, but it is possible to change that. It's just not as easy as decreasing pops and clicks at the front of the mouth.
Thank you.
Yeah. I use my favorite thing, Alkalol, which is a mucus rinse, which
I remember Alkalol. Yeah.
It works great, especially, you know, and I love having spicy stuff for lunch, like tacos and stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to go back to the studio and I'll be able to record because I've got my Alkalol.
Rebecca Davis has another one. What's a good way to clear the nasal cavity besides the neti pot? I know Dan just mentioned his product. Mm-hmm. What that tends to clear it for a few minutes for me, and then it's even worse, she says.
That's all right. So the thing with the neti pot is, it's a salt water wash, and it uses gravity to help rinse out the sinuses. There's also another version put out by the same company that is a squeeze bottle, so you get a little more pressure instead of just the gravity rinse. However, if you are still getting inflammation and stuffiness after using the neti pot, you might have reactive sinuses that kind of get inflamed very easily. And this might be something you need to talk to your doctor about and see if maybe you have some occult allergies, or perhaps you benefit from a nasosteroid that can help keep your nasal passages open. So something like Flonase. And that's a prescription medication that you'd have to talk to your doctor about.
It might be like some sort of acute onset post-FAFCAMP syndrome.
It's entirely possible. I hear that happens. Humidification, though, of your air can be very helpful, too. So if you're finding that you're getting really stuffy sinuses, keeping a nice, moist environment can be helpful in addition to doing the neti pots. And if it persists, I'd see a doctor.
All right. And speaking of doctors, Diana Birdsall, who is not a doctor, but I'm sure has played one on TV or radio or something, she said, any suggestions for a chronically irritated and inflamed throat? According to an ear, nose, and throat person, due to acid reflux, she's already on Protonix meds, tried Alkalol, Neil meds, sinus rinse, and lots of throat coat. I hate throat coat. I'd rather drink a bottle of Ouzo than throat coat. Most people would probably rather drink a bottle of Ouzo. But.
Okay. So reflux is something that plagues many, many people. A huge number of Americans have it. I think pretty much every voice actor I know has reflux to some degree. I think there are a couple of important things to think about in terms of optimizing the treatment that your doctor has prescribed. So the Protonix is an interesting medication. There are several different types of acid reflux medication, and Protonix falls under the proton pump inhibitor genre, which means that it goes into the stomach and tells the stomach, stop producing acid. And the only way this is effective is if you take the medication 30 to 60 minutes before your first meal. Because once food hits the stomach, you ain't doing nothing to turn off that acid production. So if you take your medication with breakfast, it's going to do you no good whatsoever. You might as well not take it. So it's very important, first of all, that you take your medication correctly. If you're still having symptoms, you may need a higher dose, and you may need to take it more than once a day. These are things definitely to talk to your doctor about, because getting the right medication can be very important. Sometimes proton pump inhibitors don't work for people, so you might need to try a different class of reflux medication. There are also dietary changes that you can make that your doctor should go over with you, but sometimes they don't. Reducing caffeine, reducing alcohol, reducing spicy food, reducing chocolate. So pretty much all the things people love to eat and drink, which can be tough. You might also want to talk to your doctor if you have an underlying food allergy that could be exacerbating your reflux. So folks who have kind of a subacute wheat intolerance, for example, might not get hugely upset when upset stomachs when eating wheat, but do have increased reflux when they're eating wheat. So checking out allergies is another thing to think about. Trying not to eat right before going to bed, and making sure that you stay propped up a little bit at night is another good way for managing reflux. And also, I think it's important to talk to a specialist if you have persistent symptoms, because our primary care doctors are wonderful at being generalists. But when it comes to a professional voice user, if you're going to be using your instrument every day and you need it to be in top form, you need to talk with somebody who's going to help you fine tune these things, because the average person is going to be fine with constant throat, like uncomfortableness. But for us, it's going to be detrimental to our careers. So you need somebody who's going to be willing to work with you on fine tuning your medication and different elements that could be contributing to that.
Well, we're going to go into the lightning round now, because if we don't get through these questions faster, Laura, you're going to have to treat yourself for voice loss. There are so many questions. It's unbelievable. This next one, so these will be short answers, but do your best, you know.
No worries. I'm a speech pathologist. We talk a lot.
It's okay. It's great. We're really happy to have all these answers. And I have my daughter who's entertaining me here at my feet. I've got Steve Tardio saying, yes, what's the best throat spray? You may have said you're not into these kind of products, but if there was one, what would you say is usable?
I would say drink more water.
Perfect. Good answer. All right, Dan, next one.
Well, we talked about this. Any mouth clicking remedies appreciated from Amy Cherney?
Day-long hydration. I would say make sure you're hydrating well, reduce your caffeine intake on the days that you have those recording sessions. And my personal trick, which works for me, doesn't work for all people, is no alcohol mouthwash. So if I'm in the middle of a session and really suffering, I'll pop out of the booth and swish around some mouthwash, not with alcohol in it. And that'll help clear up some clumps.
All right. This may be a question for a doctor, but he's basically saying he's dealing with LPR, Nexium, ENT, theorized that my problem was related to postnasal drip due to allergies. Basically, this long question from Alex is asking, should I buy an air purifier?
I mean, air purifiers don't hurt, but I think that if you are having persistent problems and medication is not helping, that you might want to seek a second opinion from another doctor.
Gotcha.
It's interesting because a lot of these things are very individual because everybody's different.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And every environment's different.
Yeah. Every environment's different.
Seasons. He said pollen's a problem right now. You know what you're talking about.
Depends on what part of the country you're in. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, it's damp. If you're in Buffalo or Boston, it's cold.
Oh, it's awful here.
it's been quite a winter. The lovely Rebecca Davis asks, are there other ways to clear your throat besides, clearing your throat and coughing? That's the way she wrote it, too, by the way.
So what we're trying to do in speech pathology school is a non-cough cough, where you basically make a very hard H sound. It doesn't work for me. What I try to encourage people to do is when you feel yourself an urge to clear your throat or cough, that can be a habituated behavior, take a small sip of water, and you just kind of have to train yourself out of it.
Good one. Well, Laura, go ahead, sorry.
Well, no, I was going to comment. There's something called Feldenkrais, which is a movement therapy. It teaches people how to use their bodies differently. And there's probably some exercise in there that we could find that might actually teach you how to cough a little more effectively.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Should you aim to speak using your mask to have
resonance
instead of trying to talk lower than your natural range? Another great question from Alex Rain.
I would say that what you're aiming for in vocal production is easy, without any tension, without any feeling of pressing your voice. So I think that it generally sounds very artificial. When people speak up here in their mask all the time, they sound like Minnie Mouse. And I don't know that that's necessarily where you need to be healthy. I think the most important thing is for you to feel stress-free and tension-free when you're talking without sounding down here, because that's never good.
All right. Tea Time VO asks, your digastric muscles are tense. You have to read these things sometimes. Is there a good exercise to relax them?
So I would definitely recommend seeking out your local speech therapist because there is something called circumlaryngeal massage and in general muscle tension. What is it? There's a particular kind of release massage of the neck muscles. And you want to make sure you go to someone who specializes in this, in all of the muscles that surround and support the larynx, because the larynx itself is very delicate. And the muscles supporting it are very small muscles that can be bruised or damaged very easily. So you want to go to someone who knows what they're doing. But there are absolutely massage techniques that you can learn to do on yourself that can help release the tension around your larynx and in those muscles that kind of support the larynx from which the larynx hangs. So,
fantastic. Final four. Anne Richardson, please have her explain why I sound like Gomer Pyle sometimes. My voice breaks worse than my 16-year-old son's.
So why voice cracks then?
Yeah, why does that happen sometimes?
Vocal fatigue is the biggest indicator, as well as vocal tension. So when you're trying, when you're using too much muscle tension around the larynx to try and produce a sound, it's much easier for the voice to break. That's my layman explanation of voice breaks. But hydration also can help with that, and good warm-ups.
Anybody notice a recurring theme on the hydration? Just checking.
Yeah. Keep drinking. I know there's a lot of you out there going, yeah, keep drinking. My advice to you, drink heavily. Ann Richardson from lovely Pleasanton, California. Can damage to vocal cords be reversed?
Yes. That's the short answer.
Yeah.
Okay. The somewhat longer answer?
There are somewhat longer answers. This should all be done under the purview of a good ear, nose, and throat doctor or otolaryngologist, as well as a speech therapist, because it will require visualization of your vocal cords, potential interventions from the doctor, and potential voice therapy to correct the behaviors that led to the damage in the first place. But yes, that damage can be reversed.
Diane Costello Merritt says, what is the best med for allergies that won't mess your voice up? Probably a question for a doctor, but
It is different for everybody. You just want to watch out for, I have a list and I should send it to you guys, because that would probably be the comprehensive way.
We put enough show notes if you do.
Yeah, there are many medications that have a side effect of dry mouth, and those are the ones I would try to find a substitute for.
That's a great way to keep it short. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good answer.
Yeah. Karen O'Brien and I tried these. Do glycerin swabs work for clicks? God, do those taste awful too. They gave us a bunch of those at FAFCON last year, and it was like, let me try them.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Just suck on a lemon wedge. I think, you can try them to see if they help you. Again, it's a very individualized thing. I think they're pretty nasty myself. I use them in swallow therapy all the time. They're very effective for that. But for vocal clicks, you can give them a try and see if they help. You might want to just try a lemon wedge or a little sip of water instead.
All righty. Well, Lara Haney, it has been fabulous having you on the show today. You have covered so much territory that we couldn't possibly answer another question. So we'll let you rest the rest of the night, and I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise. How can people get a hold of you? Because there's lots of things I think you could probably help me with.
Yeah, I would be happy.
What's the best way to get a hold of you if someone would like to partake of the fine skills that you use to teach us to use our voices better?
Now, Edge Studio helps manage my private coaching schedule. So you can call them directly. I think it's 866-EDGE. Their toll-free number.
212-868-EDGE.
That's it. See, it's all coming back. You can schedule sessions directly through them with me. And I work over Skype largely, so I need to see my client. Through Edge Studio.
Outstanding. Well, in that case, you'll be hearing from me. Lara, thanks for being with us tonight, and it's been a pleasure. And we'll talk to you again very soon. You're definitely somebody we got to have back.
Wonderful. I would look forward to it. Thanks so much, guys. It's been a great time.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on. All right. Well, we got to wrap things up in a nice tight little ball here in just a couple of minutes. So don't go away quite yet. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Don't touch that dial. Seriously, stay with us, please. Dan and George will be right back.
You're watching East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. They're nice guys, but every time I'm there, they never let me make water. So I'm going to go make water right now. I'm a grown man.
on East West Audio Body Shop, when we're still calling it that for the next 3 or 4 months. Thanks again to Laura Haney for joining us tonight and teaching us a little bit about vocal health. I think it's something that affects each and every one of us. Again, because we're all different and we all have these things that happen to us during the day, and it's like, I'm going for tacos, you know, or, you know, I think I'll have a beer before I go in the studio.
Hey, I see a lot of voice actors work, and I see the throat clearing thing. It's like completely normal. Like every single time they open their mouth to speak, a throat clearing. And that's got to be rough on your voice.
Absolutely. So thanks to her. Well, what do we got coming up over the next couple of weeks?
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
Little faster on the trigger there, Jorge. All right. We've got to, first off, happy Passover to all of our Passover celebrating people this week. You know, try and keep it to 7 or 8 cups of wine. Then we are going to be off next week for Easter, so we can all spend our time with our families and make it a little bit easier on the rest of us. We need a break every now and again. There's no question about it. So we won't be on next week. But we will return to the fold on April 13th. George is going to be at the National Association of Broadcasters meeting in Las Vegas, also known as NAB. And we have a special, let's see here. We have a special going on at Melissa Moat's place. So that'll be good. So you're going down like for the whole week for NAB, and then you luck out and get to go to WovoCon.
Yeah, I'm going to be there the whole week. Remember last year when NAB and WovoCon were a week apart? I complained to Dustin. I was like, dude, they're so close. Just put it on the tail end of NAB. And sure enough, he listened to me. So I had to go. If I didn't go this year, I'd be in trouble. So I plan to go to NAB. I'll be there all week. And then I tail out the end of the week for WovoCon. I'll be seeing voiceover clients. So if you are in the Vegas area, you would like to see me at your place, do send us an email or call in to Edge Studio at 212-868-EDGE or 3343. But it's going to be fun because we're going to do it live audience style in Melissa Moats' new facilities. She just created a new teaching facility there with where her studio is located. So that's going to be cool. It'd be sort of like a coming out party for her, for their new facility. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And one of our good friends of the show and our show notes guy, Jack DeGolia, is going to be there too.
Yeah. So we actually get to put Jack on camera there and say, this is the guy that's doing all that typing. That's Jack. That's this guy.
The man.
I know. I won't be there. I'll be busy selling my house. So hopefully it'll go like that. Anyway, thanks to our donors of the week. And they are people like the amazing and very generous Eric Aragone, the real Amy Fisher, Shelley Avellino voiceovers, Diana Birdsall, and Amy Serenzi, along with a bunch of other people. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to make a donation to the show to keep it going and to keep, you know, make sure we have the bandwidth and to make sure we have the equipment to keep it nice and clear and clean so you get it every week, you can go right above George's head on our webpage there and click on donate. It's up there somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere over there. narratorhelper.com. If you're working on an audiobook or anything that's super long form narration and you need help with the whole production, that's narratorhelper.com.
Yeah. And the show logs, we were just talking about that Jack DeGolia does a magnificent job on. You can access the show logs from the EWAB's website, upper right of the screen. Is that right? I can't really tell. Right? Well, this is my right, so if it's, it's over here somewhere. It says show logs. Click on that and you'll get the show logs. And, of course, go to the YouTube channel. Every episode, all 183, as of probably 45 minutes from now, episodes of EWABS will be on YouTube, and you can access them right from this site, and it'll take you right there, and you can watch any episode you want. Plus,
that's right. We got the YouTube channel. So if you like to watch the show in reruns, which many of you do, because it's hard to be here live every week, we understand that. We do have a YouTube channel over at youtube.com/ewabsshow. And that's two S's in the middle. There's a podcast version for the audio people that prefer listening in the car or while doing the dishes. That's on Stitcher Radio and iTunes. Also on our own website, and we have the Podbean feed for any, just about any pod catching, pod playing system. You'll find EWABS on there.
All right. And make sure you like us on Facebook. All of you have. But tell all your friends who happen to do that. Follow us on Twitter. Watch the Twitter feeds. Make sure you're following us on Twitter, because George has been throwing out all of these great things, all of the EWABS essentials, and some of the great shows that we've had, you know, that are classics, and some great advice from some very talented and very exciting and fun people to listen to. And you threw, how many, you like two or three of those out a week for people to
something like that. Yeah. They're kind of in a rotation. It's an automated thing, but it keeps you in the know with fun old con, you know, throwbacks to old shows that maybe you forgot all about. And, some also, you'll also see in the Twitter feed, some of our, EWABS essentials as well.
Outstanding. Yeah. And watch the EWABS essentials. Those are, you know, little 5 minute, 3 minute clips from guests we've had on that you don't have to take the entire hour and a half to watch. Of course, you can fast forward to the best parts in the other ones too, which
That's
is
right.
kind of cool as well. We'd like to, of course, thank our magnificent sponsors, Harlan Hogan, who's been with us since the beginning of time, literally, VoiceOver Extra, and your employers, Edge Studio, who bring us wonderful people like Larry and me. So that makes it a lot easier. And they have, their sponsorship helps provide uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth, so you get to watch this show every week when we're here.
And sorry my mom and dad weren't watching, especially my mom, because Ella has been in the background for almost the whole show tonight. And my mom dies to see any glimpse she can get of Ella. She can't get enough. But thanks for everybody for watching. Thanks to our wives for giving us the space in their lives for us to do this show.
Catherine, I can actually see my wife, because I'm like out in the patio and she's watching TV, and I'm like watching TV while this is going on. This is the patio.
Catherine Curden, our producer who brought Laura to us tonight. Thank you, Catherine. Anthony Gettig helping with the show notes tonight. Shelley Abellino.
The audience questions and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm sorry, the audience.
A lot of those.
Yeah, the audience questions were huge. Shelley Abellino, Jack DeGolia, Tim McKean, and Lee Pinney, you guys all help the show keep going. Thanks a ton.
Absolutely.
See, and thanks a lot to my minion over here, Alex, for making distracting noises throughout the entire show.
All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this week.
Oh, and Ella. Ella.
Oh, and Ella. She's been.
She was upset when I didn't acknowledge her. Sorry. And Ella.
And Ella. Ella. Worthy.
Hi.
Hi. And that's going to do it for us this week. We shall return in 2 weeks. Have a happy Easter. Have a happy Passover. And anything else that you might celebrate between now and then. And we'll just leave it at, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East West Audio Body Shop.
Good night, everybody. I'm just going to walk off into the darkness.
Don't fall in the pool. Like I'm floating away on a space.
Don't fall in the water.